You're listening to a message from Gateway Church Geelong. We hope it blesses you. For more information about Gateway, visit gc.org.au.
So this morning I'm following on from Pastor Renu, who spoke last week about being with Jesus. And she brought a powerful message. So if you haven't had that chance to listen to it, I just encourage you to listen to that online. And this morning I'm following on from that, and I'm speaking on the doing for Jesus. And I want to speak on that so that we can learn what Jesus wants us to do in our lives so that we can activate that and be a blessing to others. You know, this year our declaration is found in... Bless you, my child. You get a star coin for that. Well, I'll help you. It's found in 1 John 2 to 6, and it says this. Maybe we can all say it together. It says this: those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did. So the next time I'm on, I'm going to be testing you on that. So if we look at this scripture, this declaration for us this year, it is encouraging us to be like Jesus. And what did Jesus do well? He served. He served people with genuine love and care for them. But he didn't want to just leave it there. He went that one step further and showed his disciples what he meant by serving, and then he showed them by activating it. And he wanted that to be a part of their lives. So it wasn't just something that they knew about, but they actually were able to activate that. And he wanted it to become as natural for them as it was for him. Jesus shows us a posture of genuine serving. Jesus showed them and continues to show us today a posture of genuine serving. Jesus wants us to learn and glean and activate this in our own lives, the doing for Jesus, for us to mirror his posture of genuine serving. So with that in mind, I just want us to pray this morning before I get into the Word of God. So Lord God, we just thank you that you are with us today, that your presence is real, that your power is real, and you are here to transform lives and bring revelation into people's hearts and lives today, because you were a God that serves and will continue to serve and continue to show genuine love and care to us all. And we thank you, Lord God, that you are with us today. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now, last week, Pastor Renu said she brought forth a controversial question about cats and dogs. Now, I just wanted to add to that because obviously I grew up always having dogs in our household and I love dogs. Let that be duly noted. But obviously being married to Murray, who's a farmer and lives in the country, I had to get used to having a cat because cats actually serve a purpose. Do you know what that could be? Yes, I heard that. Eating the mice. So every now and then I have been blessed to find a package on my doorstep when I go out in the morning of a dead mouse or maybe a rat. So let me tell you, as much as dogs love to be near you, cats are great at serving you. Let me just add that. And I can just say too that Mitty's, my cat, is also very affectionate. Bless him. So there you go, my shout out to cats. There's a powerful story in John 13 where Jesus demonstrates how he wants his disciples, and which is us, to mirror his posture of genuine serving. And it says in John 13, 1 to 17, before the Passover celebration, Jesus knew that his hour had come to leave this world and return to his Father. He had loved his disciples during his ministry on earth, and now he loved them to the very end. Jesus knew that the Father had given him authority over everything and that he had come from God and would return to God. So he got up from the table, took off his robe, wrapped a towel around his waist, and poured water into a basin. Then he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them on the towel he had around him. Verse 6, when Jesus came to Simon Peter, Peter said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You don't understand now what I'm doing, but someday you will." "No," Peter protested, "you will never, ever wash my feet." Jesus replied, "Unless I wash you, you won't belong to me." And in verse 12, after washing their feet, he put on his robe again and sat down and asked, Do you understand what I was doing? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, because that's what I am. And since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you. I tell you the truth, slaves are not greater than their master, nor is the messenger more important than the one who sends the message. Now that you know these things, God will bless you for doing them. You know, what do we notice first? That they were all together. Jesus was with his disciples, and they wanted to be with him also. Because you know what? Jesus loved his disciples. This was not something that he was forced into. This was not something that he was cajoled into. He genuinely loved his disciples, and he genuinely loved being with them. And you can be encouraged this morning that Jesus genuinely wants to be with you. He wants to share things with you. He wants to open up the scriptures to you, because he genuinely loves and cares for you. Jesus called these men to be with him, spend time with him, and learn from him. And today we are called to be with Jesus so that we can spend time with him and learn from him also. And what are some of the ways we can do this? I know Pastor Rainu touched on this last week, but it's by reading the Bible. It's by listening to the Bible. Maybe it's listening to sermons. It's talking about the Bible and the scriptures with other people, maybe in Connect. It's having that time of praise and worship and prayer, at either at church or in your own time. And like Pastor Anu said last week, being with Jesus is intentional, it's continual, and it's consistent. And that's what we can implement in our lives every day. So what was Peter's reaction as Jesus began to wash their feet? You can imagine Peter watching as Jesus began to wash their feet and thinking, what's going on here? Is this even allowed? I just don't get it. What is going on here? And he may have been thinking, why isn't any of the other disciples reacting to this or having a response to this? So why the reaction? You know, potentially all the disciples may have been thinking, what is going on? And being surprised by what Jesus was doing, because they wouldn't have been expecting it. They may have been thinking, has Jesus forgotten who he is? The reason for the confusion and then the outburst from Peter was due to the custom and the culture of the day, which was when they would come to someone's house for a meal, a housekeeper would wash their dirty feet from all the day of travelling and walking, and then they would sit down and have a meal together. But at this time, even the order of the meal was different, because they had already started eating when Jesus, not someone else, got up and got prepared to wash their feet. He got the basin, he got the towel in readiness to wash their feet. And then that's what he began to do. And what does Jesus say to them in verse 13? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, because that's what I am. And since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to do to wash each other's feet. I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you. There was significance in Jesus doing this, even if the disciples were surprised at first. Yes, I am your Lord and teacher, but that does not stop me or restrict me from serving others. My position does not stop me from serving others and treating people well. He not only said it, he showed serving in his life for all of us to actively do and follow. He led by example. How did Jesus serve others? I'm glad you asked. He spent time with people, with genuine conversations with them. He reached out to those who were considered outcasts, the tax collectors, and people with issues. He was able to minister to the crowds as well as to the one. He fed thousands of people and healed the sick. He walked, he traveled by boat to get to people who needed healing and breakthroughs. He was genuine in his serving. He reached out to people even if we don't think that maybe they deserved it. He washed Judas's feet as well, even though he knew he was going to betray him. He loved all his disciples, all of his disciples to the end. None was excluded from that. This wasn't just a select few. He loved all his disciples to the end. And this morning you can be assured he will love you to the end. There is nothing that you can do that will ever make him stop loving you. And he showed that. He demonstrated this because he even washed Judas's feet. He loves you this morning. Even if Jesus was traveling to a place, he didn't stop the interruptions from other people when they needed help from him. He didn't allow his schedule to override moments of connection with people. He was not preoccupied with what others thought of him. He was led by the Spirit of God and followed the will of God, his Father, to serve, love, and genuinely help others. This was the example he set for them so they would do the same for others. And this speaks to us today. His example is for us to go and do likewise. Let me just clarify. It doesn't mean literally washing other people's feet. If you go up and ask someone to do that, you may get a strange response from them. Doing for Jesus, serving with love and genuineness. Now, why was Jesus able to do this? Verse 3 gives us an idea. It says, Jesus knew that the Father had given him authority over everything and that he had come from God and would return to God. Jesus was confident in who he was. He knew who he was and he was secure in the fact that God loved him. He knew where he was coming from and he knew where he was going to. And he knew that he could completely trust his Father. And because of this, he was able to serve people. And that's his encouragement to us today, to know who we are, loved by God and called to be his disciples, to follow his plans for our lives, which include serving others. He wants us to be confident who we are in him. How can we do this? By being with Jesus. And out of being with him, we grow in knowing who we are in Christ, what the Word of God says about us, that he loves us. And he wants his truth become truth in our hearts and our lives, and so that we agree and walk in that truth. You know, Pastor Lee sent out an email with great scriptures about what God says about us. And I encourage you to read and meditate on those scriptures and agree with them because they are truth. For example, Ephesians 2:10 says this, We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We have been created this morning. We aren't just a mistake. God truly loves us and he wants you to know that you are truly loved this morning and he cares for you. Why was Jesus able to do this? It says that Jesus loved his Father and he loved people. In Matthew 22:37-39, it says this, Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. And that is his encouragement for us today, to love God and to love people. You might say that is easier said than done. But that's why we call on the Holy Spirit to help us with this. Holy Spirit, help me to grow in loving people. Soften my heart so that I can respond in genuine and love and care like you would have me to do. I know, Holy Spirit, that you are with me, that your power resides in me, and I know that you will all help me to do this, to love people with genuine care and genuine service. You know, doing for Jesus helps us to grow in loving people. And we can rely on the power of the Holy Spirit in us to serve and serve well. Because of this, Jesus served, and it was genuine. Genuine means truly what something is said to be. It is authentic. Not real or fake, but with authenticity. What he said, he did. And because of this, Jesus served with authority. Because he knew who he was, he served with authority. Not from a position of weakness or insecurity. not by lording it over people, but authority to serve with love and grace. It was genuine because Jesus was and is genuine. It was powerful because Jesus was and is powerful. What does it say in Philippians 2, verses 3 to 8? Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interests of the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Jesus Christ, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Even if we just ended the sermon there on this scripture alone, this shows the heart of Jesus for us. That even though he was God, he came down. He wanted to go and die on the cross for each one of us so that we could be set free and walk in freedom and liberty. This verse encourages us to focus on the people around us. Some may not know Jesus, but need to know about his love and what he did on the cross and the fact that he rose again on the third day. He modeled true serving by doing this for each of us and all of mankind. Jesus is encouraging us to serve with a posture of humility, a posture of looking to others, not just ourselves, to care for, to help, to love as Jesus did. Important to note, however, what humility isn't. It's not about belittling yourself or diminishing what God has called you to be. It's not about seeing yourself as inferior. It's seeing yourself how God sees you, being confident in who God has called you to be, not being a pushover in all circumstances. And it requires good and healthy boundaries so that we can treat people well in what God has called us to do. The scripture also does not mean that we should not have ambitions or goals. Of course, we can have desires and goals, but let me encourage you to bring them to God in prayer. And Proverbs 16:3 says this, "Commit your works to the Lord, submit and trust them to him, and your plans will succeed if you respond to his will and guidance." So what does doing for Jesus look like for us today? Serving with love and genuineness. It doesn't have to be complicated to love and serve others. We can look for practical ways to do this, looking and asking and seeing if there is a need that needs to be met. We can be doing for Jesus in our family, at church, in our places of work or study, and in our community, just to name a few. It could be by making cups of coffee for people and having conversations with them. And as we get to know those people, it helps us in those genuine connections and also helps us to grow in loving people. It could be involved in connect groups. It may be at your house. It could be by giving people lifts or doing shopping for them. It could be by praying for people who need healing and breakthrough. Being kind to people and going out of our way to show kindness. A kind word, a kind gesture, maybe a text, an email, or a letter, or sending flowers to somebody. Not everyone experiences kindness, so by being kind, we can mirror the very love of Jesus into people's lives. You know, Mother Teresa said, "Kind words can be short and easy to speak, but their echoes are truly endless." Let us be an example to other people of who Jesus is in our lives so they can experience that genuine love and care through our kind words. Bringing people meals, just listening when someone needs it. We may not have the words to say, but just our presence and our attentiveness is serving. His presence is with us, and we carry his presence. And his presence in us can bring peace and joy into someone else's heart and situation. And I'm sure there are ways that you serve, the doing for Jesus, that I have not mentioned. And there's always stuff that we can help out in our local church to serve and be a blessing of that connection for people here to come to know Jesus. By doing for Jesus, we can start to make an impact. Jesus can take the simple acts of kindness we do for others and change lives. Because he is a powerful God. We can be a part of helping people come to know Jesus. This is why Jesus showed us his example of washing the disciples' feet. Being with Jesus, building our relationship with God, growing in our love for him, the doing for Jesus, the serving with genuineness, so that those around us see Jesus in us, so they can experience his genuine love for them, having that revelation of what he did on the cross for them and accepting him into their lives. That's why we serve, to love God and to love people, so they can experience that love and accept him. You know, and in closing, I just want to bring your attention to a man named Stephen, who we find in the book of Acts. He was part of the early church, and at that time, there arose a need within the church, and they needed some people to help practically in this situation. You know, Stephen was chosen because he was full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. When he was chosen and accepted that position, they then prayed and laid hands on Stephen and the other people who were chosen to do so. Now, you might say this morning, I want to serve, but I don't feel that way. I don't feel chosen. In fact, I just feel like I'm not sure what I can actually offer. But I want to encourage you that God has chosen you. You may not feel it, but God's power lives in you if you've accepted him into your heart and your life. And you may not feel it, but I want to encourage you, and I'm going to declare over you that this morning you are chosen by God to serve and bring genuine connections between yourself and people so that they can see God in you and come to know him. And that is what I'm declaring. That is what I'm believing, because I know it to be true this morning. You are chosen by God. You are loved and accepted by him. So I'd love for you to stand in this place. And if this morning, if you're thinking, oh, I would love to do more, I would love to serve more, I would love to do the doing with Jesus, but sometimes I just don't feel like I'm maybe adequate enough, or I might feel like I'm not really sure how to go and talk to people, or I'm not really sure what I can do, what I can offer. This morning, the Holy Spirit is here to let you know that you are chosen by God to bring an impact into other people's lives. And it just needs to start off small, a smile, a conversation with someone, which will then grow and grow as the Holy Spirit continues to lead you and guide you. And this morning, if that's the way you're feeling, I would love for you to just raise your hands in this place, because I want to pray for you, because God's Spirit is here to bring change and to bring impact into people's hearts and lives. So if you want to just close your eyes. If you feel comfortable, raise your hands. I'd love to pray for you. This morning, Lord God, we just come to you. And like Stephen was chosen because he was full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, Lord God, right now, I just pray for your Spirit to impact people's hearts and lives. Lord God, that they will know that they are loved and chosen by you to make an impact in this world for your glory. Lord God, so that people can come to know you. Lord God, help us to make genuine connections with people. Lord God, as we leave this place, let us be full of the Spirit of God, because it's who you are and it's what you want to do in our hearts and lives. Clothe us this morning with your Spirit of power and truth and love. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Amen. You may take your seats.
What a beautiful message. The encouragement for all of us to know that God has created us, personally created us, to be part of his kingdom, part of doing for his kingdom. I think it's really important for us today. This is obviously a two-part message from last week and this week, that to do for Jesus, first you have to be with Jesus. You have to be known by Jesus. You have to be someone who knows that their sins are forgiven, that they've been restored back into relationship with God the Father. And I want to give everybody in this space a moment today, people who are watching online now or at a later date, if you don't know Jesus personally, if you don't know what it is to be with Jesus, to be forgiven of your sin, to be set free and have this beautiful new life set before you, if that's you today, I'm going to pray a prayer in a moment. And it's a prayer saying, I'm coming before you, God, acknowledging that there's some things not right in my life, that there's sin in my life. I've been choosing my own way. But today, Jesus, I want to choose to follow you. So if that's you this morning, I want to invite you to pray this prayer after me. The church is going to join us in praying as well. Why don't we pray? Dear God, I thank you that you sent Jesus, that he died on a cross, that he was buried, and he rose again for the forgiveness of my sins. From this day on, I choose to follow you. I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that you raised Jesus. Today, God, I'm choosing to be with Jesus. And from this day on, I will always be with Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
We pray that that message was a blessing to you. If you made a decision to follow Jesus, first of all, congratulations. We think that that is incredible. And secondly, if you go to gc.org.au/first steps, our team has put together some resources, as well as there's some information there for how you can get in contact with one of our pastors, because we'd love to encourage you and connect you into the life of the church.